Hey, this is Tom Utes sitting in the back of a car on Belmont Avenue in Nashville, and I'm talking to Lee Williams.
He had a flintlock rifle with a bayonet. I had my old shotgun pointed at his head. Touch them beans, boy, you might as well be dead. Down along the river in 63. Living in holes like prairie dogs. Eating all the mules after killing all the hogs. Wishing we could run, hell, we couldn't even walk. Down along the river in 63. Grant coming down the river with an army clad in blue. Coming down the river doing what he said he'd do. Once you take the city, you get the Mississippi too. Down along the river in 63. As can be, sun by his side, stogie in his teeth, while Porter's fleet was taking all the heat. Down along the river in 63. Grant coming down the river with an army clad in blue. Coming down the river doing what he said he'd do. Once you take the city, Mississippi too. Down along the river in 63. Tears we cry, damn be the fourth day of July. If you don't know better, don't ask why. Down along the river in 63. Grant coming down the river with an army clad in blue. Coming down the river doing what he said he'd do. Once you take the city, Mississippi too. Down along the river in 63. Once you take the city, you get the Mississippi too. Down along the river in 63. Down along the river in 63. Down along the river in 63.
Well, I've arrived in Nashville in the back of a car talking to Tom Utes.
Hey, how's it going, man?
It's very good. I've heard so much about you. I've never met you before, but Alan West has good things to say about you because you've helped to produce his albums.
I've known Alan for a long time. Yeah, we've probably known each other for over 10 years, and I've helped him make records here in Nashville and sometimes overdubbed stuff for him that he recorded in England. And we're talking about me going over to his festival next January and all that kind of stuff, so he's been a good friend.
Yeah, that's a really good festival, the Midwinter Fest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking forward to doing that. My friend Jefferson Ross was there this year, and Alan called me a couple of days ago and asked me if I'd be willing to go, so sure.
A guitarist, songwriter, record producer, your own studio?
Yes, all of that. Whichever sequence you like.
There you go. So what's your main love?
Oh, I don't know if I can say that. I think just the fact that I'm doing all these things speaks to the fact that I love all of those three things equally. I started out as a guitar player when I came to Nashville, and then the songwriting thing fell into place. I've always made records, so that's something that comes natural to me. A lot of the people that I write with end up making records with me, or a lot of independent singer-songwriters. I've been doing a lot of TV and stuff for TV and movie over the last 10 years, so that's all stuff where I do all three things. I play, I record it, I produce it, and all of that. So, you know, I've long ago figured out that I'm not the best guy at just doing one thing. I'm happier when I do a couple of different things at the, you know, and so guitar playing and producing and songwriting fills that itch for me to be involved in the recording process in a more rounded way than just doing one thing.
That's great. Well, talking about the films, or TV programs, are any particular programs that we would know that you've performed your music in?
I don't know if you would. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's being used in England because it's for a company that's based, the headquarters is based in England, but it's mostly stuff that's being used here in the United States on cable television. It's a lot of stuff that relates to what I do or what relates to Nashville. So I'm sort of the go-to person for them for country, bluegrass, folk, Americana kind of stuff. And it's everything from really gritty sounding southern stuff to really nice pastoral sounding pedal steel strings kind of arrangements, all kinds of stuff.
Because I've noticed over the last year or so that you've been having quite a lot of success with the bluegrass charts over here.
I have, yes. I've always loved bluegrass music, and I just several years ago started writing more for that world because the world of commercial country music has changed so much, and I don't find it a little difficult to find a place in that. And plus, bluegrass music, folk music is more what I'm drawn to. So I started focusing my writing more on that, and it's done really well for me. I had a lot of cuts and several number ones, and been nominated for Songwriter of the Year twice by the IBMA. So that's been a nice thing, you know. It's nice. It's a smaller world. John Hartford said that bluegrass is like the last small town in America where everybody knows everybody, and it's easy to pitch to the people. You know the people. You know which people like you, what people are drawn to thematically in songs, what their range is vocally. All that stuff is accessible. It's not as business minded as the world of commercial country music.
Talking about John Hartford, I remember him years ago. He came over and I did a few dates with him, mm-hmm. and he brought his board and everything, mm-hmm. and he would do his dancing and his playing. Mm-hmm. It was just a real treat to see him.
Well, he's one of my main inspirations, and also one of the main inspirations for Peter and Eric that I made this Riverland record with. There is a playfulness to everything that Hartford did that's missing in a lot of music these days, I think. And it's not just his dancing, it was the way he approached everything. There's a playfulness to that. I wrote a song called Hartford's Bend a couple years ago that people respond really well to, and it's about where Hartford's house on the Cumberland River was, and he could overlook the river and watch the big barges go by, and they'd blow their whistle because they knew that he was up there. So he's a constant companion of mine in my musical mind and in my heart. He's somebody that I just absolutely, I adore what he did and how he did it, and that's the way to do it.
They're still blowing their whistles on the Cumberland River. When they're coming around Hartford's Bend, it's a tip of the cap to the man with a hat. Every riverboat captain's friend, with his fiddle and bow and his old banjo, his tap dancing shoes keeping time. The sweet refrain of the Julia Bell swain, ever gentle on my mind. He said nothing is real but the river, nothing is true but a song. They're still blowing their whistles on the Cumberland River when they're coming around Hartford.
Beaufort's Bend. It's a tip of the cap to the man with the hat. Every riverboat captain's friend. In the night, and I think about you, old friend. I miss you so, and I hope that you know. I wish we had our time again. So roll on into the sun. Somewhere beyond the sea, they're still blowing their whistles on the Cumberland River when they're coming around Hartford's Bend. It's a tip of the cap to the man with the hat. Every riverboat captain's friend. It's a tip of the cap to the man with the hat. Every riverboat captain's friend.
Tell me about the trio you're with now, because you're coming over to the UK very soon.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's with my friends Peter Cooper and Eric Brace. We've been playing together for 7 or 8 years. All three of us write songs. We're really good friends. I think we do a unique thing because it's three people with three acoustic guitars, which is typically would be a little weird, but it works, I think, really well when we do it. We play each other's songs. We play other people's songs, but not in terms of cover versions. We just play stuff that influenced us, and we feel like it's an important part of our act to let people know what we were influenced by. And so we play a couple things by other people, but mostly it's our stuff. It's a lot of harmony vocals. It's a good thing. We're all really word-driven people. We're all big readers, and so all that factors into what we do and factored into the making of this album, Riverland.
The album is out now, mm-hmm. and is the album all your own stuff? There's no covers on there.
There's one song that was written by Will Campbell, who was a Baptist preacher who was good friends with Tom T. Hall, and we used that song, but then Peter wrote some extra material to it with the permission of Will Campbell's son. So it's I don't know how many songs are on the record, 14, 13 or 14, I think it's 14. Mm-hmm. So it's 13 originals and one that was half written by Will Campbell.
Because I played River City last week, and some great harmonies.
Thank you. Well, that's sort of what we try to do.
Yeah. Now, most of the dates are in the north of England.
I think so, yeah. I don't know how that always happens, but, I'll just go wherever people tell me to go and play. I don't organize any of it, so... That's just the way it fell into place. Peter works at the Country Music Hall of Fame and teaches at Vanderbilt University, I think, two classes a week, and I teach three classes a week at Belmont University in the songwriting program. So we sort of have to plan our touring around those academic schedules, and so that's just how it fell into place.
It's a real work in town, isn't it, Nashville?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people think that, you know, musician types or songwriter, creative types are just people who sit around and wait for inspiration to strike. It's very different in Nashville. It's a very work-oriented town. Like, if you have a co-writing appointment, it starts at 10 and goes till 1 or 2, and you show up. You show up on time. You know, I tell my songwriting students at Belmont, you know, I have never recommended somebody to for a good co-writer for anything who never shows up. You know, you have to treat this as work. And when you dedicate your life to being a songwriter, that's when it starts. There's no more messing around. You got to get real.
Now, if anybody wants to know more about the trio and the album, is there a website?
Yes, it's redbeatrecords.com, and it's like red beet as in the beet that you can eat. So redbeatrecords.com. Hey, this is Tom Utzel, and I'm talking to Lee Williams.
Everyone you know is in some trouble. Everywhere you go, something ain't right. Hold this hammer, let me have those pliers. Hand me down that sawed-off piece of pipe. Nothing but a heartache when we started Kentucky and the Delta bottomland. Living in our heads for half a lifetime. Feels good just building something with our hands. Old Tom T and Brother Will and a Mississippi handmade moonshine still. I can't ever drink my fill of Old Tom T and Brother Will. Old Tom T and Brother Will. Silver eagle down the highway. You're running with a rough and fragile kind. Sometimes a simple song can be the good Lord's favorite prayer. I hope that he's been hearing some of mine. There's got to be some reconciliation. We're brothers to a swarm of dragonflies. We're bastards one and all, but still forgiven. We're a couple bootleg preachers cracking wise. Old Tom T and Brother Will and a Mississippi handmade moonshine still. I can't ever drink my fill of Old Tom T and Brother Will. Old Tom T and Brother Will. Don't you hate those no-count sons of bitches?
Well, yeah, I do, but then I love them all. It's just the way it's written down in Scripture.
This liquor's gonna be real good come fall. Old Tom T and Brother Will and a Mississippi handmade moonshine still. I can't ever drink my fill of Old Tom T and Brother Will. Old Tom T and Brother Will and a Mississippi handmade moonshine still. I can't ever drink my fill of Old Tom T and Brother Will. Old Tom T and Brother Will.
So when did you actually come to Nashville?
My wife and I moved to Nashville full-time in October 2003, but we had come here for several years off and on to check it out, and we had friends here, and we had to wait till we had our green card business all figured out. We were also for a while thinking that maybe we might want to move to Austin, but then the decision was made pretty quickly that we were going to move to Nashville. So I've been here almost 20 years.
So who have you played with?
Well, when I came here, I had, before I moved here, I had played a lot with a guy called Richard Dobson, who's a fantastic Texas songwriter who unfortunately passed away in 2017. Actually, at the end of 2017, right before Christmas. He was one of my best friends, and he was a mentor to me. He had lived in Europe, and I had lived in Europe. We toured there together, made four records together over there, and then he greatly encouraged me to move to Nashville, although he was you know, it probably he had to sacrifice a lot for that because I was the band leader. I had the band, I had the studio, I had blah, blah, blah. But he wanted me to do this, and I wanted to do it. And then after I moved here, he came here a lot and recorded here with me, and we wrote together. And like I said, he was through him I had been introduced to some other people. And so my first gig when I came to town was playing guitar for a guy called David Olney, who's a wonderful singer-songwriter, who wrote some stuff for Emmylou Harris, the song that she recorded on Wrecking Ball, and for a bunch of other people, Del McCoury. And so I toured with him for a little bit, made a record with him, and then a songwriter called Mary Gaucher saw me play at a little pub here in Nashville that's no longer there, and she really liked my playing and asked me to if I wanted to go on a... She had just been signed by Lost Highway, and she asked me if I'd go on a tour with her, so I ended up playing with her for like 3 years, and we went to Australia, all over Europe, all over Canada, all over the United States, and that was a good thing for me. And then I had subbed for Nancy Griffith, this guitar player, Clive Gregson, a British guitar player, a couple of times, and he was moving on to doing some other stuff, so Nancy asked me to join her band, and which was a great thing for me that I'm very grateful for. Did that for 5 years and co-produced a record for her and with her, and wrote some songs for that record with her, and toured all over the world with her. But I got to the point where I just couldn't focus on my studio. I couldn't really focus on my writing because I was always gone. And when you're playing with people like that, you have to commit to whatever schedule they come up with, which means either you're going to work like hell 1 year and or none at all the other year. And I was getting a little fatiguing to me because I really wanted to get the songwriting thing off the ground and intensify that and do some more studio work. And so I just stayed home a little more, and then the thing with Peter and Eric came up. I toured a little bit with Maura O'Connell, but more the stuff that was just a little more sporadic, where it's like, okay, let's do 40 dates a year or 50 versus doing 100 plus a lot of travel. And it's been really good for me because I focused on my writing and established a pretty sizable catalog of songs, and had a publishing deal with Brumley Music for 3 years, and then that those things come and go, and you know, I just signed a new publishing deal with somebody and put out a couple of bluegrass records with a small bluegrass label called Mountain Fever Records, put out one in 2017, and working on another solo record now. And you know, it's busy, and my, like I said, I teach 3 classes in the songwriting program at Belmont, which is a good thing. It keeps me in touch with young people. It makes me realize how old I am, which is a good thing, you know. It's good to hear what moves them, and it's also good to feel that you have something to contribute to their writing lives, where they, you know, they might never have heard. Pretty much none of them have ever heard a song like "The Randall Knife" by Guy Clark, and it's kind of fun to see their jaws drop when they hear that for the first time.
Sure, I mean, you're talking about lots of people that I've loved over the years, and it's so good that you're giving this back to youngsters so they can, you know, take it in and see where the music has come from and going.
Well, that's part of it. I mean, I'm obviously talking about modern stuff with them as well, but yeah, it's fun, and I do think there's a certain obligation that comes when you're in your late 40s, or I'm going to be 50 here soon, but that's sort of, it seems a natural progression toward teaching at that time, at that point in your life, that you've experienced something, you can actually talk about things, and because you've lived certain things, you know. And it's fun. I love being around. I love doing the Belmont thing. I love my students. Like I said, it keeps me connected to young people, keeps me connected to what they're listening to. I learn as much from them as they learn from me. It's just, I think that's the way you have to approach it.
Good. Tom, thank you so much for talking to me.
Oh, absolutely. It's been a pleasure. Hey, this is Tom Utzel, and I'm talking to Lee Williams.
Here's a young man getting off a boat just for the night. Where's he gonna go? Well, he stumbles through a swinging door and buys himself a beer. Come the misty morning sunrise, he'll be out of here. River City, somebody roll the dice, another chance. Someone will pay the price.
price for the dance. Some Mississippi River City. Here's an old man getting off the ride just one more night. He's lying there inside of a hotel down in Natchez, the town he once held dear. Come the misty morning sunrise, he'll be out of here. River City. Somebody roll the dice, another chance. Someone will pay the price for the dance. Some Mississippi River City. Down by the river, where ties that bind will hold but do not tether. Buddy, where you from and what's your pleasure? What's your pleasure? River City. Somebody roll the dice, another chance. Someone will pay the price for the dance. Some Mississippi River City. Some Mississippi River City.